Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
All right, well, as I was looking over our passage for today, as we continue our study in the book of Ephesians, we're in part two of our study. We took a break for a couple of weeks for the Easter season. And so we are back in chapter 5. Now, last time we studied Ephesians, we looked at the first two verses. Now we're about to dive into verse 3 and go a little bit further. But as I was reading over the text, this just kept coming to my mind. Cussing, immorality, greed, and some other stuff. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know if I'll come up with that. Maybe a little different title than that. I just couldn't. That's what it just kept jumping out. Cussing, immorality, greed, and some other stuff. And I thought to myself, self, this kind of fits for what tomorrow is. Anybody know anything? I don't shout it out. Anything know about anything unique that's happening in our world tomorrow? Just raise your hand. Yep. That's right. Burger King's having a special. No, we know that there is an eclipse. Now, Burger King might be having a special. I don't know. But I tell you who will know, Brother Phil. He'll know. I guarantee you. There's an eclipse, okay? Now, there's different views on that, different extremes, okay? I'm not about to go there and get into all that. Some of you are thinking, man, I can't wait to hear what you said. Others are thinking, man, I thought I could get away from that coming to church. But here's what I would tell you, that there was a whole section in the Clarion Ledger, hardcover of the news this weekend. If you want to look at it, you're into all that, want to see what all's going on, there's a whole section right there. You can borrow it. You can have it. Because there's not a third service. I told the first service you could look at it and have it, but wait till after this one. Now, in the Daily Leader, here's what it tells us, because I've been wondering, you know, how will that affect me here in Brookhaven? So, in the Daily Leader, it says what to expect from the eclipse. Let me just read a few lines. It says, according to eclipse2024.org. Did y'all know there was a website? Now you know. Don't look at it right now. Mississippians will be able to see anywhere from 80% to 98% of the sun covered when the moon moved between the earth and sun Tuesday afternoon in Brookhaven. Well, let me tell you this. We noticed in the first service, it said Tuesday. There was a slight mistake. It's tomorrow, okay? Which is a reminder. This is the source of all truth. Not even your Sunday school lesson or your preacher or the daily paper or social media doesn't always have the total truth, because we make mistakes. So that was just a little mistake that our local paper made, okay? In Brookhaven, it says, residents will expect to see about 89% of the sun covered. The partial eclipse is expected to begin at approximately 12:31 p.m. with the time of maximum coverage at 1:51 p.m. Experts with the University of Mississippi Medical Center caution that special eclipse safety glasses, keep that in mind, or viewers must be used at all times during the partial phases. So, now you've been warned. Now you know. You say, well, what's your concern? Well, personally, it's just me. My greatest concern is that's going to happen during lunch, and I'm hoping I can still see what I'm eating. Because I like to eat, and I'm planning on eating. Eclipse isn't going to hurt me, going to keep me from eating. So that's my greatest concern. But here's what I tell you. As you think about the eclipse, what's it going to do? It's going to darken for a season the sun that shines bright. Now, where we're headed right now in our text is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Ephesus about Christian living. And he's saying, don't yet let your flesh darken the light of Christ as you live out the Christian life on a day day-to-day basis. Verse 3, NIV, here's what it says. Chapter 5, Ephesians. But among you, there must not be even any hint of sexual immorality or any other kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, of course, joking. These are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Verse 5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. In other words, as the church, the ecclesia, the called out one, the people of God, not a building, but a people. For you, verse 8, were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, from that passage, here's what God says to us today in His Word. Taking notes on the back of your listening sheet. The first thing we pull from the text is this. Some sins from our past should stay there. In other words, we are a new creation in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So there's some things from our past that should stay there. When it comes to biblical examples of what sin, those things that God has pointed out in His Word, the sins that are of omission, the sins that are deliberately disobedient to God's laws and rules and guidelines to protect us, that should be a way of life from the past. So He lists several. Let's go over some. Sexual immorality. This is the first thing listed, not because it's the worst, but because in that day it was the most prevalent. And it may be that we're reminded of how prevalent it is today. In that day, Ephesus was the center of the worship of the fertility god Artemis, also known as Diana. The Greek word for immorality is where we get the word pornography. This includes all types of sexual sins outside of marriage. Now, we must understand, God created that sex for marriage. The world has caused it to be a bad word. Oh, you said it. Well, in the context of marriage, it's fine, it's good, it's biblical. Okay? So, outside of marriage, what are some of those sins? Porneo, pornography, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, prostitution are examples. Sexual sin only degrades our humanity and leaves one empty and hurt over and over and over and over again. God has rescued us from even that. Though in our world today, it's everywhere. And so we say, God, help us to keep our eyes on You. My victory is in You. Day by day, moment by moment, that's of the flesh, that should be from the past. There's another thing that's mentioned, greed. Now, greed is lust for more, whatever it might be, whether it's sex or money or whatever. Greed makes a god, I like this, greed makes a god of what it seeks to possess. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. You cannot serve both God and my grandchild. You cannot serve both God and my job. You cannot serve both God and sports. You cannot serve both God and being an outdoorsman. You cannot serve both God and fill in the blank. Now, God wants us to enjoy life. Balance is important. But God is to be God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we need to be careful about greed, which is lust for more. Because if we're not careful, it can slip in and become an idol or a god. Another word is shameful talk. Speaking in a way that's disgraceful or degrading to a person. Gutter talk can even silence opportunities to witness for Christ. Now, we all have those different moments when we think, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And it may be from the past, but we got to understand that can affect our witness. It hinders it. And Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful in building others up, that it may bless those who listen. Encourage those who listen. Benefit those who listen. Listen, Ephesians 4:29. This passage is what it's saying. In a nutshell, that believers that have been born again do not have a pattern of these behaviors or a flippancy toward these sins anymore. They should stay in the past where they belong. My grandfather Overstreet, my mother's dad, was from East Obuchee, Mississippi. I never spent a lot of time in East Obuchee, Mississippi. I've been there at least once. I went to the church. There is an East Obuchee Baptist Church. I actually got some dirt from there and put it in a bottle. I have it up there in my study. Don't tell the police. I'm not sure that was legal, but I just decided I'd confess it. Confession's good for the soul. So maybe the time limit's already passed. But I thought, I want some dirt from East Obuchee Baptist Church, because my granddaddy grew up here along with some other Overstreets, and he was baptized. And he used to tell this story over and over and over. Oh, let me tell you. He had this big, let me tell you this. And he'd usually do it in front of my dad because he knew my daddy, who was a preacher. It'd make him nervous. He'd do stuff like that. And I just loved it as a kid. But here's what he would tell. He'd tell him, I remember when I was baptized. We baptized out in the pond, you know, back in the day. We baptized him. My buddy, he said, well, he was a rebel rouser just like your granddaddy Hal. We got baptized. And I'm telling you what, when he came up out of the water, he cussed because that water was so cold. He loved to tell that story. And we can all just to visualize it or imagine it occurring, you know. So it's not that this fellow was not a believer. It was more than likely that he was a brand new believer, and that was a part of his vocabulary, and he may not have known yet what the truth is about being careful about what we say. Gutter talk from the past and not our present. Shameful talk, greed, sexual immorality. Here's what Chuck Swindoll says, and I think he's spot on. The key is whether we deliberately persist in a lifestyle that resists the Lord, or whether the general tenor of our lives reflects a Godward direction. There it is right there. I believe that's what the passage is saying, and what it's saying in a direction as a new believer. Billy Graham said this, the more we do it, meaning involved in those sins of the flesh, the easier it is to practice lust, greed, hate, lying, stealing, or whatever it may be. Pride, jealousy, anger, these things beset all of us. And the more we yield to the pressure, the more easily we will yield next time. Now, folks, as a church of Jesus Christ, we need to be sure that we're focused on the Word of God and we stand for truth. Now, I'm not talking about preferences here. I'm talking about convictions. And there's a clear line. There's a difference. Some people will do all they can to stand on their preferences as if it's the Bible. Ha! We need to stand on our convictions where it speaks clearly in the Bible about things that matter. Because if we're not careful, it can drift into our home. And before we know it, we might, well, it's okay to just drift into the church. So God is reminding us through his word, our church, as Paul was reminding the church at Ephesus, this is the way you live the Christian life. Be careful. Be careful. That's in the past. You're moving forward. Point number two we see from the text is this. Some suggestions for our future that will shine everywhere. Now, let me tell you this. If there's a struggle with some of the sins listed as a pattern or a stronghold or something that just really seems difficult, remember this. God is gracious and forgives. If lost people act lost, or they act like lost. So if you are lost, you've never come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? Today's the day of salvation. It's the greatest day you can ever have. You repent of your sin, you believe on Jesus, and you put your faith and trust in him. Greatest decision of your life, because it helps you live out the Christian life. If you are a Christian, you believe you are, but you have been struggling, then allow this to help you move forward. You need Christian counseling? There is a place for it. You need to talk to somebody that's been in that stronghold. You want to repent? Talk to them. Repent to God. But allow Christian counseling and healthy relationships to help you move forward. And remember this, sometimes we have to distance ourselves from unhealthy relationships. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. So sometimes the reason we continue to struggle with certain proclivities towards sin is because we've not distanced ourselves from somebody that we love, but that are keep dragging us in the ditch, so to speak. So we have to be careful about that. It's just a reminder of that. When a person is born again, it brings new life, new light into their lives. Maybe you heard the story or read the story. I've read this many times. I've not shared it with you since I've been here, I don't believe. But it's a story about a guy that, he was a rebel rouser in his neighborhood. Maybe he was like my granddaddy Overstreet and his buddy that cursed when he came up from being baptized. But, he was a wild man. He was married, had kids, but he was a drunkard. The Bible is clear on drunkenness, and so he had a problem. And he had filthy language, he was drunk all the time. It affected his finances, it affected his family. But then, finally, he came into a relationship with the Lord, and he was radically changed. And so when he'd get with his old friends, they thought, I don't even know who this guy is. He's so different. He was radically changed, a whole different direction. And so they would sometimes prod him, tease him, give him a hard time. And in one particular situation, one of his old buddies tried to trick him, as many do with the same subject, with Jesus turning water into wine. He'd only been a believer for a short time. So his answer to his buddy when he said, "Hey, how about Jesus turning water into wine? Come on, man, have a drink." This is what he said. "Fred, I don't know anything about that. I can't say if Christ turned water into wine in that house." He was a new believer. He'd never studied that. He said, "But I know this. He's changed beer into furniture in my house." Because before, he was reckless with his money. He was reckless with his relationships. He was reckless with his family. And so he knew that the power of God was transforming him. The latter part of our passage talks about the value of light. Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world." So if we abide in him, John 15, "If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you reflect nothing. You will be nothing." Then we abide without trying to work it out. We just abide in Christ, and he helps us live out the light of Christ. I thought about the Haven Cross. A couple of things. Last week, if you were at the Sunrise service, you probably remember this. We were up there singing, and Robert was one of the first ones up there, and Will was beside him playing his guitar, and he grabbed his phone and the light, and he pulled the light over so he could see it. And I thought, that's a good idea, because my Bible might be a little dark at that time, and so I used the same thing. And so here's what we're reminded of when it comes to light. Light dispels darkness. And so as we held the light, it dispelled the darkness so we could see. Jesus is the light of the world. When we live for Him, it helps there be light and helps dispel the darkness. Here's the other thing when I think about the cross. Light attracts attention. Now listen, once those bright lights go up, there will be more, even more attention on the cross. From everything I know about the bright lights that will be there at night, people will be driving by on the interstate, and someone will think, I wonder if there's a ball game going on at 2 in the morning. You ever done that? You drive down the interstate, you see bright lights. Usually it's a baseball game or a football stadium or whatever. Well, all of a sudden, people be driving from New Orleans. They'll be going home. Probably some of those college students at Mississippi College be going back to school. 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe some other schools out there, and they'll see that bright light. And they'll be reminded of the cross of Jesus Christ, and what He's done for them, and His grace, and His mercy, and His purpose for our lives. It brings more attention to what really matters. We're to walk as children of light. Let's be clear of what it means when it says expose in verse 11. That doesn't mean we parade other sins in front of some moral court in dealing with lost people. Listen, lost people act lost. So they're like, well, let's go grab some lost people and expose. That's not what he's talking about. We're not talking about church discipline here. Light doesn't attack. It simply reveals what's there by way of contrast. An example is when one honest person in a workplace has high level of integrity and others do not whatsoever, then dishonesty is exposed. Max Licato put it this way: live in such a way that the world will be glad we did. In other words, you can see this at the workplace, on a ball team, in the classroom. It might be that you're a minority, but if we consistently grow in our relationship with Christ and we bear the fruit of the Spirit, there will be a difference between darkness and light, and people will see it and know that there's something different. It's not us, but Christ who lives within us. And then the last verse in our text, verse 14, he closes the section which most scholars believe was an early hymn. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Maybe today there's some folks that just need to be awakened by the truth of God. Now back to the eclipse. I got me some sunglasses here. Now, these are high dollar. These are from Walgreens in Florida several years ago. They're not really high dollar. But I like them myself. Now, some people give me a hard time. My daughter like, Daddy, you got white glasses. You need to be careful there. What are you talking about? I like white glasses. I like white shoes. I like white pants. It's just me. Okay? But if I gave these to you and I said, hey, won't you wear these tomorrow at 12:31 while you eating your hamburger? Most of you know that the experts say, mm-mm. Don't be wearing rather cheap Walgreens glasses. You need to go with some specially made glasses. There are those that the experts say you can use, and therefore you can see whatever it is you want to see. You wouldn't do it. Now, here's what we've been told today from the expert. This is how to live a life that sheds light on the light of the world. Don't live in darkness. That was your past. Don't go to the dark side. Stay close to the Lord. It's been a reminder of things of the flesh. And as our pattern, we need to go with what the expert says, so we won't be blinded and we won't ruin our sight of who Jesus is and what he wants us to be for for the rest of our lives. Dear God, thank you for the truth of your word. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to follow your truth, total truth, without error, the expert. And not be duped by the enemy, by trying to do something in a way that somebody else were supposed to say we're supposed to do or live or anybody else besides you. God, help us to know the truth and live the truth so we might be a light in a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand. We're going to have our invitation. We're going to close like we normally do. I'll be at the place of prayer. There may be a few other staff members that join me today. And this is a time for us to pray for you, pray with you. There may be some other decision. If not, just sing, reflect, meditate on the truth of God's word for this time of invitation.